Forgive and release. That is the second step. Before you were forgiven of sin, you had a bond with it. There was an attachment that you could not shake until Jesus forgave you of the sin. After that, you were no longer attached to the sin. Unforgiveness is an attachment. It anchors you to the person or the event in a way that releases poison into your body. Think about that. If you begin to think about someone who sinned against you and you have not forgiven them, watch your body. It may begin to respond with tensing up. Tears may flow. You may get angry. Shame may flood your soul, or your blood pressure may begin to rise. There is an attachment and there is poison. When you release someone from their sin against you, it does not mean that what they did was okay. It just means that you trust God enough to give it to Him and let Him handle it. It means that you want to cut off the bond you have with that person or event. Forgiveness can bring instant healing into your life. I have seen people healed emotionally, spiritually, and physically only by obeying the Word of God and forgiving. As believers, we forgive because Jesus said to do it. It's not an option. Forgiving and trusting Jesus is serious business for the Christian. Let's read some scripture. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 reads like this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And if you remember, trespassing is that they have crossed a line they should not have crossed. Matthew 11, 25 reads, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Forgiving others is so important that if you are going to pray, you need to make sure you do not have unforgiveness in your heart. It's a first work of Christianity to forgive others. Luke 6:37 reads, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Look at that promise. Isn't that awesome? Matthew 18:21-22 reads, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? It's like, isn't seven a ridiculous amount? And then Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. That was a kind of a proverb that they said back then. And he was saying, you know, just keep forgiving. The thing is, when you have unforgiveness, it hurts you and not the person. Does forgiving someone mean you have to be best friends? No, it does not. Doesn't mean you have to have them over for dinner. But forgiveness releases them from the debt and cuts your tie to the sin. It removes the bitterness of the sin and allows God to move in and do His perfect work. Forgiveness gives God the go-ahead to heal you and to make you whole again. Without all of the wonderful benefits of forgiving others, there is still the commandment to forgive. So we forgive as believers because Jesus said to do it. It's in our best interest, but it is His will. What if the sin against you is so painful that you do not know how to forgive? Just your willingness to obey is an opening for Jesus to come in and begin the healing process. There's nothing wrong with being honest with Him and saying, Lord, your word says to forgive and I want to obey, but I do not know how. Part of me doesn't even want to, but I want to obey your word. So please give me a heart to want to forgive. I am going to choose to do it because it is in your word, but I need help right now. See, Jesus will work with a willing heart. The miracle of this step of freedom is that Jesus knows you inside and out. There may be unforgiveness that you aren't even aware of that's hidden down deep inside of you. For this step, you will ask the Lord to shine His light deep inside of you and bring to your remembrance anything or anyone you need to forgive. Now, when He brings it to your mind, don't dwell on it. As soon as it comes up, all you have to say is, okay, Lord, I forgive. I let that go. I give it to you. And you're just going to continue as long as the Lord brings things to your mind. If you start crying, that's okay. If If thoughts that you cannot forgive come, just ask the Lord to help you. Don't hurry. So ask Him to show you, and then you just keep forgiving. I should give you a warning that you may begin to think about things that do not seem to matter. There's one girl that said, this is silly. Why should I care that my third grade teacher picked on me? However, when she forgave the teacher, an incredible peace flooded her. Jesus knows what is stuck down deep in that darkness. One woman I prayed with, she always felt like everyone thought she was stupid. And we asked the Lord, why does she think that? And suddenly, she remembered a teacher telling her she was stupid and the kids laughing. And once that she forgave and let that go, she had a completely different view of how other people saw her. There's some good teachers out there, but you know, the bad ones do cause some damage. I have found that people have the hardest problems with three things, basically. So I want to warn you about those. Number one, forgiving themselves. You're included in on this deal. Let yourself be forgiven by you. Now, when I just said that, even though I'm recording this, I can just even feel the resistance. If Jesus forgave you, you need to let yourself go. If you are refusing to forgive yourself, you are keeping yourself in bondage, that you've hidden the key away. You have got to let yourself go. Jesus commanded it. Remember that? No matter what you've done or what you didn't do or should have, let go of the guilt and forgive yourself. If you want to be free, you must do this. If you don't know how, ask the Lord. Number two, some people find it very difficult to realize they need to forgive deceased people. Sometimes folks feel guilty if they need to forgive a loved one who has passed. For example, what if someone had a good mother, but that mother did one thing that wounded the child? If the mother has passed, the person may think, it's near treason to think that my mother needs forgiven. I cannot do that. But remember, if Jesus brings it up, it's there. You aren't doing anything wrong to your mother by forgiving her or accepting the fact she had a flaw. Just forgive when He says to forgive. And the third thing is forgiving God. No, God has never done anything wrong. However, there are people in pain who have believed that He has. One woman was angry because she felt like God didn't intervene when she thought He should. In this case, if there is an offense toward God, He's big enough to handle you forgiving it. Remember, forgiveness is about you, not about the other people. I would be remiss to not give you some instruction on inner vows here at this point. Once someone is hurt, it's not uncommon for them to make an inner vow. For example, Jacob in the Bible made a vow that he would never be comforted after he was told that Joseph had died. He led a mournful life after that. As a part of the forgiving process, it would be good to ask the Lord to remind you of any inner vow that you made. For example, if you were hurt by a friend and then you made a vow you would never let anyone else get close to you again, you will want to renounce that. You will use step one and two to break the power that spiritual noose has on you. Now, if I made a vow I would never let anyone close again, here's how I would break it. Lord, I forgive my friend for betraying me. I repent for being so angry that I put up a wall to others. I repent for being so angry that I put up a wall and have purposely kept people out. Your word says to love, and I have refused to let anyone get close enough to love me. I renounce that vow I made, and I ask you to break the power it has over my life. Release me from that self-made prison and crush it to pieces in Jesus' name. I concede that you can bring whomever you want into my life. Help me to love and receive love like you. Now continue forgiving as the Lord shows you who and what to forgive. Once this process begins, you may be sitting later like in the living room and suddenly recall an offense. As soon as you think of it, just forgive. It's sort of like as we pray this prayer, it pops the cork and things just keep coming out, and you'll just continue to get more freedom as you get all of the bitterness, all of the offense out and get everyone forgiven. From this day forward, if someone offends you, forgive lightning fast. Do you remember the story in the Bible when they were stoning Stephen? Do you know when Stephen chose to forgive them? He forgave them while they were throwing the stones. You will live a life of not being offendable if you can forgive and let it go while it's happening. Sometimes if I don't know how to do that, while something's happening, I'll say, God, I don't know how to do this, but do not let this offense take root. I will not live in unforgiveness. The enemy feeds on unforgiveness. I don't want to feed him. Unforgiveness and offense, they are fertile soil for the unclean spirits to sow seeds of bitterness and destruction. If you don't want the enemy to have power in your life, obey the word and forgive. Now, one last thing. Ask the Lord to heal your memories concerning the wrongs done to you and to remove any triggers associated with the things you forgave. We'll talk about this later, but it's a good idea to ask the Lord to heal as we go forward. He's good and He will do this for you. Just an example, like the friend who was betrayed, when I forgave that friend and forgave myself and broke that inner vow, one thing I might do is say, God, please heal the memory of me hearing her say lies about me. Every time I see her, I want to cringe. I ask that you remove that trigger and heal that memory. I give it to you right now in Jesus' name. Now get ready. We are moving ahead to step number 3.